You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Good morning, High Ridge family. How y'all doing today? Good to see you. You look good. Ask your neighbor if you smell good. I can't tell, but hopefully they can. Good to see you. I'm so excited to be with you today and be sharing the Word of God with you. We're going to go ahead and get started in Exodus chapter 33, if you want to turn there in your Bible, in your app. And I want to start with an introduction. Who am I? Who is this guy up here on this platform? My name is Pastor Zach. I'm on staff here at High Ridge and have been for about 7 or 8 years now. And I get the honor and the privilege of overseeing all online and creative ministries. So shout out to those of you that are watching online. We love you. We're so excited that you're here. I've got some friends all over the country that may be watching. I love you guys. And if you're watching, doesn't matter where you are, I believe that God can meet you exactly where you are. If you're on a beanbag in your underwear eating Cheetos at this moment, God is there with you. And so excited about that. That sounds pretty nice, I'm not going to lie. But I also want to start today by honoring our pastor. Can we take just a moment and honor Pastor Tim and Tina? We love you guys so much. And trust me when I tell you that I would not be where I am today without this man and his leadership in my life. My family would not be what it is. My relationship with my children would not be what it is. Our ministries would not be what they are without your guidance and your direction, your leadership, and your correction when I need it, and I need it a lot. So I'm so thankful for you, and I'm more than happy to always submit to your leadership, and so I love you so, so much. And so we're going to start today in Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to get there in just a second, but a little bit more of an intro of who I am and a little bit about my story. And so I moved to Longview, Texas over a decade ago. I'm originally from Arkansas. I tried to get to Texas as fast as I could. Come on, somebody. Come on. I know I got a room full of Texans. You're proud. A little too proud at times. Dallas Cowboys are your team. Just remember that. But I got down here in Longview and married my wife almost 10 years ago, my beautiful wife, Taylor, who I love so much. If you know her, you love her. She's incredible, and she keeps me grounded. She is. She keeps me from doing really stupid stuff. Y'all need one of those. I got mine, and I'm so thankful for you. And we got three beautiful kids, Graham, who's 7, Heidi, who is 6, and Adelaide, who is 4. And I thought that all my kids would be kind of similar and they're nothing alike. Anybody ever been there? You thought, you know, you learn one parenting strategy and it's going to carry you? No, that's not how it works. And so Graham, my oldest, he is a typical firstborn, very analytical, very structured. I can give him some guidelines of how to stay on the right track and do things. And he tends to fall in those guidelines pretty well. My youngest, Adelaide, is pretty similar. She's the difference is that she's never done anything wrong in her life. She's perfect in all her ways. My wife would disagree with you, but I think she's the sweetest thing ever. And then we have my second child, my middle child, who doesn't care about anything I have to say. Doesn't really, you know, that's a great idea, Dad, for your other kids. For me, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. And I'm constantly wrestling with her, and I'm believing by the grace of God that if we can ever figure out how to direct her sheer will and attention, that she's going to change the world someday. Come on, she's going to change the world. The last thing I want to do is I want to make sure that I show you guys honor. You're such a generous church. I don't know if you are aware of this, but this is one of the most incredible church bodies that I've ever been a part of, and your generosity is making a difference all around the world, but it's also making a difference right here in this house. This past week, we got the chance to have the first ever High Ridge Youth Worship Night and High Ridge Youth Parent Night, and it was incredible. We got to connect with parents, share some vision with them of what are we teaching your kids. We're teaching them good things, right? Parents, you may wonder, what is your kid learning on Wednesday night as they come to student ministry, youth ministry? And then we got to go all in on the presence of God with our night of worship. I got the honor of playing the drums. And so I just want to encourage you parents out there that if you send your kids here on Wednesday night, they're in good hands. Yeah. We got good leaders that are teaching them biblical principles, and I'm so grateful. And that would not be possible without your generosity. So back to my kids for a second, my middle child, Heidi. She gives me a run for my money. But the other thing that's really interesting about Heidi is that she has an incredible memory. And you could have said something 4 years ago when she was 2 years old, and she's going to hold you to it, right? She's my built-in accountability. God gave me Heidi so that I would do what I said I was going to do. Otherwise, I would hear about it, right? Anybody ever had kids like that? It's like she has a steel trap of a mind and memory, and it's crazy. I can come home from work, and I can be, you know, trying to wind down, and she'll be like, hey, Dad, can we go to Andy's later? I'll be like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, you're in that mode of where you're not focused. And then later, it's basically like, hey, if you're going to be a man of your word, then we're going to go to Andy's. You said that we would go, and I'm like, okay, gosh, okay, you know. So, but she holds me accountable, and I think the reason that she does this, if we simplify this, is that when Daddy says it, she believes it. When Dad says it, she believes it. And there, we all have times have made promises that we haven't kept, but you know, there's a God that makes promises that keeps his promises. And I want to talk to you today about some promises of God. And before we even do that, I want to dive into what is Webster's definition of a promise. And it is a declaration that someone will or will not do something, or a legally binding declaration that gives the recipient the right to expect a specific action. So today I want to bring you a message titled, The Promised Land Man. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Promised Land Man. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, sorry, I didn't turn to you. I just liked them a little bit better. So we're going to take a look today at a couple different guys in Scripture, and we're going to spend some time talking about Moses. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, if you grew up in church, you probably know a little bit about the story of Moses. He's kind of one of the heroes of the faith. And before we dive into Exodus chapter 33, let me give you just a quick 30-second synopsis of what has happened in Moses' life leading up to this point. So Moses was in the wilderness. God encounters Moses and says, hey, I'm going to call you to lead the Israelite people out from underneath the slavery of the Egyptians. Moses argues with him for a little bit, like all of us do, right? And then he finally says, okay, God, I'm going to do what you called me to do. He goes, he delivers the Israelites. They walk up to the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. They walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, right here, they're in the desert on the other side of it, right? And I don't know about you guys, but they were confused about where God was leading them. But he had already told them that he had a promised land for them. So just a reminder for you is God doesn't just deliver you from your past life, your sin, your addiction, your mistakes, so that you can go live in the middle of a wandering desert. He has a promised land life waiting for you on the other side. Amen? He does. He has a plan and a place for you to go. But here's what happened. The Israelites got on the other side of the Red Sea, and all the faith that carried them through the middle of a giant sea on dry ground has dried up. And the Israelites have repeatedly not listened to God. They're not doing what he's telling them to do. They're not being obedient to the voice of the Lord. So that brings us to Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to start in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to skip verse 2 because there's a lot of stuff in there that I don't know how to pronounce. And we're going to go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. And this is where it gets interesting. He says this. He says, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. Now, this is a time in the service where you don't need to raise your hand, but has anybody ever looked at a loved one and thought, I really love you, but I just don't like you? Anybody? Be careful. Tread lightly. But that's where God was at this point with the Israelite people. He said, you know what? I love you. You are my chosen people. But if I go with you, if I got to put up with another second of your disobedience, of you not listening or doing what I've told you to do, I might destroy you. Okay. And so the Israelites obviously freak out. They're like, okay, we got two choices. Either God doesn't go with us, or he goes with us and he might destroy us. Which one of these options do we want to take? So they go to Moses, say, Moses, man, you got to go talk to God. We need you to hook us up. Well, that's where Moses goes back into the tent of meeting where God's presence would dwell. And starting back in verse 12, this is that conversation. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, Teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. By the way, that's a great prayer. Great prayer. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I can know you. He said, remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then this is where I want us to spend some time today. In verse 15, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house with your people. Lord, I pray that your word would come in power and authority and would encourage us and strengthen us to go and walk in obedience to what you've called us to do and to walk alongside you as we do it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. There are so many principles that we can learn when we look at the life of Moses, literally hundreds or thousands of things that we could highlight, but there are three valuable lessons that Moses understood that he knew that if I can be really vulnerable with you, I have failed to understand at times. And here's the first. It's that God's presence is greater than God's promises. God's presence is greater than his promises. You know, God is so good. Come on, somebody. God is so good. He's so good that he loves us enough that he, out of his abundant wisdom, he comes down and talks to little specks of dust like me in time and space when he created time and space. He comes down and not only talks to me, but he actually gave me promises. He gave you promises. In fact, in the Bible, God made 7,487 promises to mankind. And what's crazy is he didn't have to do that. He was not under any obligation to do that, but he did that out of his great love for us. It tells me in the Bible, in Jeremiah, that he has a plan for me, a plan for a hope and a future. That's one of his promises. But here's the thing. It's easy to fall in love with the promises of God and pursue them and find satisfaction in them more than I find satisfaction inside of the presence of God. Sometimes we get fixated on the thing. We get fixated on the life that we know that God has for us, and we end up there without God. Yeah. You know, Christmas is coming up, and I'll be honest with you, Christmas has always been one of my absolute favorite holidays. And as a kid, I had very selfish reasons for that. I loved getting cool stuff, right? Anybody, be honest with me. Come on, where you at? You love gifts, right? And there's maybe nothing better than knowing that somebody really wants something, you saving up, you getting that thing for them in that morning when you're waiting for them to open that gift, and you get an emotional reaction out of giving a gift to somebody. There was a friend of mine that had a daughter. She was probably 14 or 15 years old, and she was really, really, really wanting these certain pair of shoes. And he got her the shoes, gifted them to her, and then pulled out his phone and was recording as she was opening them on Christmas morning, and she just has this emotional, just meltdown response of like, just gratitude, you know? And then she immediately got up and she went and acknowledged Dad, the gift giver. That's one of the best things ever. And then on the other side of that, sometimes the worst thing ever is when you save a bunch of money, you get something for your kid that you know that they're gonna love, and then they're just in go mode. Anybody got kids like that on Christmas morning? It's like, it's a race. We're gonna open as many as fast as possible. And they open that thing and they're like, cool, love you. On to the next one, right? And you're like, hey, I bled for that, right? Like, I want a little acknowledgement of the gift that I've given you, right? And but what we have to understand and what we have to understand in our walk with God and the promises of God is that the gift giver is greater than the gift. The promise maker is greater than the promise itself. Why? Because the gift doesn't exist without the gift giver. The promise doesn't exist without the promise maker. And I'm convinced that if the enemy can't ruin your life, he will give you your promised land before you're mature enough to realize that the promised land isn't the prize. He will give you everything that you've ever wanted, everything that you've ever dreamed before you have the wherewithal and the wisdom and the discernment to know that, no, God is the prize. And Moses understood this. He said, God, I know that you've promised this to your people. I know that you've promised this to me, but can I be honest with you? If you're not going, I don't want it. And how often have we thought that way? How often have we gotten fixated on the thing that we want and we're willing to sacrifice even our own intimacy with God in order to get there? And if I can be vulnerable with you for a minute, I've spent my entire adult life being a promised land man. I've chased after what God has promised me. I've chased after my goals and my vision of what success looked like. And I've looked up at times and I've been way out in front of God. And I haven't been doing life with him. When I get to the promised land, then I'll be happy. And if we are all being honest, we all struggle with this in some capacity. We have what I call when I get syndrome. When I get more money and I get out of debt, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I get through school, then I can breathe a little bit, and then I'll be happy. That was visceral. That hit somewhere. When I get through this tough season that I'm in, when I get done with this struggle season, then it'll get better and I can finally breathe and be happy. And in our human condition, we tend to do one of two things. Either we give our mistakes and the things that we've done too much authority, or we give our successes too much authority. And what happens is when we give our mistakes too much authority, we stay behind God. God has a plan for you. He wants to do something through you. He wants to use you in some capacity. But we're just like Moses, and we wrestle with God, and we say, oh, no, I can't do that because of all this. God, don't you know that I've done these things? Don't you know that I've made these mistakes? And there's some people in this room or watching online today that that's where you're at. You'd say, you know what, God, I know God has a plan for me, but I am so stuck. I can't forgive myself for what I've done. And then there's some of us that we've maybe experienced a little bit of success here or there. And what happens is we don't mean for it to happen, but our ego gets a little inflated. We get out in front of God. And the whole idea is that God created you to do life with him. To do life with him. Here's the deal. Your promised land looks a little bit different than mine. For some of us, it's achievement. When I get a couple more letters behind my name and a couple more degrees, maybe get that promotion, that's the good life. That's where I'll be. That's where I'll be good. For some of us, it's financial success or security. For some of us, it's comfort. I just want to chill out, man. Like, can you quit preaching so hard at me? Like, I just want to chill out. For some of us, it's rest. You work hard and you need a season of rest. For some of us, and this one's really going to challenge you, it's even the church and the community that comes with it. And let me just tell you that these are good things. These are good things. You should desire these things. But where we mess up is when we give these things our priority as opposed to walking with the presence of God on a day-to-day basis. That was his intent when he created you, to do life with you. And what's crazy is this started back even at the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, they were created by God to do life with God. He didn't have to create Adam and Eve. He did it so he could be in relationship with mankind. But the enemy planted a seed in their hearts, in the minds, in the garden, that the goal was to be like God, not to walk with him. So they sacrificed their walk with God. It said, the Bible literally says that they walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. But they had this moment where the enemy planted a lie, planted a seed, and they traded intimacy with God to become like God. And we today in America are doing the exact same thing. We struggle with the exact same thing. We want to create a life that gives us such a sense of security that we have no need for a God. And that was never the goal. The goal is to walk with him. He is the prize. Intimacy with him is the prize. And can I just tell you that that's his heart for you? You know, I think sometimes we make mistakes or we screw up and we feel like God is just so frustrated with us. But his heart is to walk with you. That's what he wants. That's his desire, is to walk with you. He doesn't need your achievements. He doesn't need all your service. What he wants is he wants your heart. He wants your trust. He wants your life. And Moses recognized this to the point that he said, God, if you don't go to the promised land, I am not going. He was willing to sacrifice the promise of God if it meant that it wouldn't come with the intimacy of God. What if intimacy with God was that important to us today? God, I know that you promised me financial security, but if I never got it, but I get to keep you, that's good enough for me. God, I know that you promised me a husband or a wife, but if they never show up, but I get to keep walking with you. That's good enough for me. God, I know that you promised me a baby, but if that never happens, but I get to keep walking with you, that's good enough for me. God, I know that you promised me healing in my body, but if I never walk in earthly healing, but I get to keep you, that's good enough for me. What would the church look like if we valued intimacy with God the same way that we value the promises of God like Moses did? If you're taking notes, write this down. We often have the motivation for the destination, but we struggle with the consistency for intimacy. Moses understood this. Here's the second thing that we can learn from the life of Moses today, and that is that God invites ordinary people to live extraordinary lives. You know, it's very easy for us to look at the Bible and look at guys like Moses and look at the disciples and say, well, of course they did great things with God. They're in the Bible. But what you don't understand is that they were living ordinary lives and they encountered the presence of God and everything changed. They were not set up from the get-go to be the great heroes of the faith. They were living ordinary lives. The disciples were ordinary men. They were working ordinary jobs and they encountered Jesus and everything changed in a moment. But let's talk about this Moses guy for a second. Moses was actually less than ordinary. If you go back to the beginning of Moses' story, Moses murdered a guy. Moses was a murderer. He killed a man and then he ran from the consequences for years, decades. He was a coward. He was living on the backside of a wilderness tending to sheep when God met him. But I want us to see something in the early story of Moses, and we're going to turn real quick to Exodus chapter 3. It says this, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Everybody remember that? There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And this is where God encounters Moses, and this is what I want you to see in this moment. God sought out and encountered Moses. God sought out and encountered Moses. Moses wasn't seeking to find God on the back of the wilderness. So why in the world would God choose Moses? God, didn't you know that Moses is a murderer? Didn't you know that he's a coward? Didn't you know, God, that Moses has disqualified himself? By the way, how many times have we said this about other people in the church? Or how many times have we said this about ourselves? And the truth is that Moses said the same thing. He said, listen, God, I can think of 1,000 reasons why I'm not qualified to do what you've called me to do. But I have good news for you today. Write this down if you're taking notes. God redeems our mess with our yes. He redeems our mess with our yes. The moment that Moses said yes to the call of God, his story was redeemed. God started writing a new story for Moses. And what I love about this is the same way that God sought out Moses, God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that he could seek you out. We sang about it this morning. Bill shared about it. God is actively pursuing you today. You know, we're here at church. You've taken the step to be here, but I want you to know whether you are walking in a relationship with God or maybe this is the first time you've ever stepped foot in a church, that God has a plan for you. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you so that you could walk in relationship with him and you could become all that he's called you to be. He has a plan for you. And here's the reality is that we're all sinful. You know, I think a lot of times we think, okay, once I get saved, then I'll get my life together. For those of us that are saved, can we be honest? I'm still a hot mess. I still make mistakes. I am still sinful. The difference is my yes to the lordship of Jesus over my life. That's the difference. That covers me. That redeems me. And God approached Moses and asked him to be a part of God's plan, and he's doing the same thing to you today. You may feel incredibly ordinary today. You may feel less than ordinary. Well, good. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. You're in a perfect position to be used by God and called by God. Your only responsibility is to keep saying yes to what God wants in your life, to stay close with him along the way and do life with him. God, if I don't get to keep you, I'm not going. That's the goal. Here's a third and final thing that we can learn from Moses' story today. Obedience is greater than achievement. Obedience is greater than achievement. When we go to Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter is known as the Hall of Faith in the Bible. And there's so many men and women that the Bible highlights. These were people that not just believed in God, but they believed God. They took him at his word. They walked in the authority that only God gives. And it mentions people like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, but it also mentions Moses. But you know someone that it doesn't mention? It doesn't mention this guy in the Old Testament that we know as King Saul. So who is King Saul, and what does he have to do with this story? Well, if we go to 1 Samuel, we read this story where the Israelites wanted a king. They wanted a king, and God looked across the people, and he picked King Saul. He picked this regular old dude like you, and he said, you know what? I want to pick him to be the king. And we read through chapter 9 and chapter 10, and the prophet of the time, Samuel, he literally went and anointed King Saul. King Saul was an ordinary guy, and he anointed him to be the king of Israel. What does this mean? The same way that God sought out Moses and called him to do something great, he sought out King Saul. Their stories start exactly the same. God in pursuit of them. And what we find is that after God chose King Saul and anointed him to be the king, King Saul walked with God for a long time. He was walking in obedience and doing what God had called him to do. But then we find this one situation where King Saul walked in disobedience. This one situation where God had given him a really clear direct command, but there was pressure from the people to do something else, and Saul gave in to the pressure of the people, and he walked in disobedience to the word of God. And this is where we find in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, one of the most terrifying scriptures in the entire Bible. And it says this, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And what I want to highlight to you is the fact that King Saul was chosen by God just as Moses was. He walked in obedience. And when we find King Saul in this situation in Scripture, he's still the king. He's actually living in the promised land that he had been given. He's got the authority. He's got the power. He's got the ability to make the calls. He probably has earthly riches. He's living in what we would all look at as like, man, that guy is killing it. He's crushing it. But the presence of God was no longer there. So he was walking in the blessing and the calling of God, but he wasn't walking in relationship with him. And that's a terrifying place to be. And so today, I really want to boil this down and make it very simple for all of us. When it comes to our walk with God and doing life with God, there's only a couple questions that we got to ask. The first one is this, am I living in a place where I'm walking with God and hearing his voice, or am I not? Am I hearing the voice of God in my life, or am I not? Now, if you're here today and you'd say, no, I don't hear God's voice, it's okay. I'm going to give you some practical steps that you can take to start hearing God's voice. Because the Bible tells me that his sheep know his voice. So that if we have a blockage in hearing God's voice, it's not something that he's done. It's something that we got to work out inside of our own hearts. But I'm going to give you some helpful advice how to do that. But that's the first question. Am I walking with God and hearing his voice, or am I not? Now, once we solve that and we are walking with God and hearing his voice, then it comes down to, am I walking in obedience to what he said? Or am I walking in disobedience to what he said? It's very simple. Am I being obedient to the voice of God? And if I can be honest with you for a second, a lot of times I choose to not hear God because I know he's going to tell me what I don't want to hear. Anybody? Right? You know that God's calling you to do something that you're scared of doing, therefore you don't listen. Right? But let me ask you a question. What can God do with your obedience that you cannot do with your achievement? What could God do with your obedience, with your yes? I've spent too much of my life doing what seemed like the right thing to do at the time and then asking God to bless it when it got hard. Anybody ever been there before? This seems like the right thing. God, I'm just going to go for it. I got peace about it. Anybody? Come on. I got peace about it. So I'm going to go do this thing. And then when it gets really hard, God, bless this thing that I'm doing. And he's like, why don't you ask me next time before you go do it? So I made the determination that I need a word from God. I don't need my wisdom. I don't need my discernment, my decisions. I need him to tell me. Because when God gives me a word, I won't go back on that. God said it. I'm going to do it. Right? And when it gets hard, I have an actual solid foundation to stand on. The problem that we all have is that we make decisions that we think are good decisions, and then when it gets hard, we're standing on shaky, sandy ground. So I don't know about you, but I can't afford to be a promised land man anymore, chasing after the thing and missing the presence of God, missing the walk with God. Here's the last thought I want to leave you with, is that he is better than the thing that you want. He is the prize. He's better. What if God told you that you would never get what you wanted, but that you'd get to hear his voice for the rest of your life? Is that a deal that you would take? So practically, after hearing this message, how do I get back to doing life with God? Maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor Zach, I don't know how to hear God's voice. I don't know what to do or how to do that. Well, I want to encourage you. There's some stuff coming up here at the church that I really want to encourage you to be a part of. And the thing that the Bible tells us to do is to fast and pray. Fast and pray. What does that mean? It means that I give up something that I love, aka food, which I love a lot, to give up food to spend that time with God, to sacrifice something on the front end so that I can put myself in a position where it's like, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to hear your voice. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where one of the heroes of the faith, his name is Jacob. He actually encounters the presence of God, and he said something that has stuck with me, and he said, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. And you have to bring that mentality and that approach to hearing God's voice to where, God, I will fast and I will do whatever it takes so that I can hear your voice clearly. Because can I tell you something, friend? Your life being led by the voice of God is the best life. It's the best life. And so we have coming up in January, we have our Discover services the second week in January. And we, as a church, we're going to fast and pray together. So right now, be prepping your heart for that. Be getting ready because God wants to give you vision and direction for this next year. And for bonus points, you can start fasting and praying now. You can fast and pray. You don't need us to tell you when to do it or how to do it. You can lay down things that you love so that you can spend quality time with God so that you can hear his voice clearly. But this is how we get in a position where I can hear God and I can walk in obedience with God. The second thing I want to just mention to you and make you aware of is that when we look at these stories, we find that Moses left a legacy. And what's crazy is Moses didn't even get into the promised land. He didn't even get the achievement that we all chase. But his obedience cemented his legacy forever. And we have a really incredible couple Sundays coming up called our Legacy Sundays. And this is where we highlight and we share with you guys how your generosity has made a difference. How when we get a word from the Lord, we act in obedience to it. We're not here to flaunt and flex our muscles about our achievement. We're here to flex our muscles about, hey, God said it and we did it. Here's how we did it. And so be prepared to come on December 15th and December 22nd. We got 2 weeks of Legacy Sundays. And we're going to be sharing with you what God has done in this past year, but we're also going to be sharing with you fresh vision of where he's taking us as a church. So I want to encourage you to be praying now and asking the Lord, Lord, how can I give to the future vision of what you want to do in this house? So be prepared for Legacy Sunday. So with that, we can go ahead and put up our devices, put up our notes, go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Zach, if I'm being honest, I have been way out in front of God, or I've been way behind God, and I have not been walking with God, with his presence. But it's time that I fix that. It's time that I do life with God. It's time that I hear his voice and walk in obedience. With all of our heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If that is you, can I just see your hand all across this place? I love it. This is not for me, this is for you. If that's you, I want to pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you for my friends. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that your desire, your heart is to do life with us. So Father, for those of us that are stuck in our mistakes and we can't seem to walk with you, we can't seem to forgive ourselves, Father, I pray right now that you would cast all of that off of us as far as the east is from the west, Lord, that we would walk with you. Father, for those of us that are maybe out in front of God, Lord, I pray that you'd slow us down, that we would walk with you and we would commit to this idea of, God, if you're not going to be there, then I don't want to be there. God, I don't want all these blessings and all these things if you're not with it, if you don't come with it. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. Now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Zach, if I'm being honest with you, I don't have any kind of relationship with Jesus. I don't know him. I don't walk with him ever, but I want to. I want to walk in relationship with him. My friend, I believe it is not by accident that you're here today or you're watching this online. I believe that God has called you to this moment so that he could encounter you. He could seek you out and pursue you just like he did Moses. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a simple prayer that's an introduction to Jesus. And so as I say this prayer, I want to invite you to say it with me. I'm going to pause at the end of each sentence and you can repeat each line with me. You can say it out loud or in your heart, it doesn't matter. But the prayer goes like this. If that is you, say this with me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died and rose again so that I could have life and freedom and forgiveness of my sin. I repent and turn away from anything that I've done that did not honor you. You can have my past, you can have my present, and I trust you with my future. Thank you, Jesus, for just now saving me. All across this place with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if that was you and you said that prayer with me today, can I just see your hand all across this place? For those of you that said that prayer, I want to just encourage you that this is the greatest decision that you could have ever made. The Bible tells me that all of heaven rejoices when one person comes into relationship with him. And so right now, they're throwing a party for the decision that you just made. If that was you, I want to encourage you to look up at me for just one second. Look at the screen behind me and text the word I prayed to 844-HRC-TEXT. And the reason I want you to do that is because I'm going to send you a 5-part devotional series from Pastor Tim that's going to tell you what to do next. We don't want to lead you to this point and then not help you walk with Jesus. So for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up at me. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention today. I hope that you were encouraged. I'm going to go ahead and call forward the elders. If you have the premium subscription here at High Ridge, you're welcome to come forward for prayer. I'm just kidding. We're just kidding. We don't have any subscriptions. All of you are welcome. If you came to church today and you felt like, man, I need somebody to pray for me, it would be foolish for you to walk out those doors without getting prayer. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. We want to support you on your journey. So if you need prayer, please come forward and get prayer today. If you enjoyed this online, if this was encouraging or helpful to you, please be sure to hit that share button. It would mean the world to us. This is a very easy way to minister and to encourage using your influence online. So be sure to do that. So with that being said, guys, I'm going to pray us out and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today, God. We thank you for your word, that it comes in power and authority. I pray that as we head into Thanksgiving week, that you would be with us. You'd be with us with our crazy in-laws and you'd help us to navigate all that comes with it. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. You are dismissed.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week and we will see you next time.